The message you are about to hear is true. Oh, yes, indeed. It's not an epic story, as epic stories go, like the conversion of Tom Palm. Actually, pardon me, Mr. Papania, it's Tom Papania. Very, very strong conversion, that is. I've listened to it several times. Or David Ring, you may have seen him on TV several times. He makes his rounds. He's an evangelist, but he's got one magnificent story to tell about the conversion to Christianity. And nor is it the story of an overactive imagination, not at all, that includes bright lights and saintly images parading before your eyes, almost blinding. Nor is it God whispering in your ear, although he does talk to your heart now. Let it be known at the start, my friends, that Old Testament times are nothing new to God. Nothing new to God. Back in the beginning, God was simply setting his plan for mankind in motion. God was simply setting his plan for mankind to become what he would have it to be. It was a time when a holy and righteous God was preparing the hearts of men to understand the great power and holiness of a righteous God. For example, and there are many, in Genesis 22, when Abraham was preparing his son Isaac as a burnt offering unto God. Now, you will probably remember that. Anyone who knows their Bible at all will recall the story of Abraham and Isaac, right? Before I go any further, let me tell you the title of my service today. It's called A God Who Cares. A God who cares is a God who dares. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, now let's get back to Genesis 22. When Abraham was preparing his son Isaac as a burnt offering unto God. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that? Well, you know, even in this day and age, we do this in a much different way. We don't have to take them out and put them over a fire and burn them as an offering. Thank God for that. But we teach them the Word of God. We give them the Word of God from out of the Holy Bible. And that Bible is the 1611 King James Authorized Version. There is no other Bible that can touch it. None other. Indeed not. Okay, over in Genesis 22, verse 7 and 8, what we read is, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 8, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, the very heart of this text, although many, many years before Calvary, points to that very event when God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, was used as a lamb, the Lamb of God. He was used to take away the sin of the world. Wow, aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. I sure am. Thank you, Lord God. The key word here is himself. Provide himself. A lot of people just race right by that and say, hey, well, God's going to provide an offering, a lamb for a burnt offering. I wonder what kind of lamb it'll be. They never think that it's Jesus Christ he's talking about here. But that's why God says the key, God will provide himself a lamb, himself for a burnt offering. The lamb, of course, being Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Revelation 5, verse 12, we are given a further understanding that the lamb is, in fact, Jesus Christ, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." A capital A, or pardon me, a capital L on that word Lamb. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Who else could it be? The Savior of the world, Jesus the Christ. Praise be to God, I tell you, praise be to God. Let us move from Isaac now over to Moses. You all heard of Moses, even you who have not read the Bible. His name is spread abroad everywhere. Moses. Moses. We all know about Moses, right? Of course we do. God talked to Moses. How? Did God walk up to Moses and shake his hand? You know, Moses is the only one I have believed that God spoke to from a burning bush. I believe he was the only one that God spoke to from a burning bush. Now try to envision that in your mind. Do you think Moses was afraid when a voice came out of a burning bush? Well, don't forget now, Moses was a human just like you and I. And if a bush suddenly caught fire and began burning beside you, you'd jump back for one thing, wouldn't you? But when you heard a voice come out of that bush, you might take a header. Or you might just take off, period. Or you might do what Moses did. Do you think Moses was afraid? Yeah. That he tried to run away, maybe? Well, let's go to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verses 2 to 6. Verses 2 to 6, yes. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that's Moses, of course, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Wow. Can you imagine? Moses was probably just like cement, just frozen in his tracks. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Usually when a bush burns, it is consumed, right? And it falls apart, crumbles to the ground. But this was a special bush, and the fire did not consume it. And Moses, maybe being a little bit skeptical, said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why, the bush was burning and was not burnt." He wanted to know, right? He wanted to know. Curiosity. What did they say about it? Oh, yeah. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see God. Pardon me, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he, Moses, said, "Here am I." And God said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Well, I don't know about you, but as for me, I probably wouldn't be standing any longer. I'd probably be flat on my back or on my face. One can only imagine. But believe, God had chosen a simple herder of the flocks to go forth and fulfill many miracles intended to draw mankind into a relationship with our wonderful God. That was Moses. That was his journey. Those were his orders. Tell me, did Abraham and Moses really have a choice? Or did God cause them to obey? Some would like to think so. Here we see how God looks upon the heart. Did you know God looks upon your heart and mine and every heart? Because there are a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus Christ and they really don't. But God looks upon the heart and he knows if you're being truthful or not. He knows all about you. After all, he made you. This may be a little bit hard for some of us to digest and be a real test of our faith. You see, before you were even conceived, now this is important. You must remember this. Listen carefully. Before you were even conceived, before the seed was planted in your mother's womb, God not only knew if you would be a boy or a girl, and add this to your would-be amazement, in God's great foreknowledge, that's a big word with a big meaning, foreknowledge. It's going to come up again. In God's great foreknowledge, he knew if you would have a turning to Jesus for salvation. I better explain that. He knew if you turned to Jesus for salvation, even before you were born. You know, because there are many, as you know, who simply thumb their nose at the gospel of salvation, these people do not really believe in Calvary. They don't believe in the crucifixion. Yet, they do believe that if God really wants them to be saved, then he will make it known to them in their heart. And not some book penned by man, talking about the Holy Bible. These stubborn fools with their noses in the air, they say if God wanted them to be saved, they would have no choice. You may want to hear my recent sermon, Many Are Called, But Few Are Chosen. It's on my site. Moses was both called and chosen, as was Noah, and David, and Paul. The list goes on. Are you called and chosen? Well, we're all called to salvation, but we don't become chosen until we accept our Lord and Savior as the one who paid the penalty for our sins. We repent, we believe, then we are accepted. We are then chosen. Allow me to emphasize the following. This is very important. God's foreknowledge always precedes your predestination. Have you got that? God's foreknowledge always precedes your predestination. It's that simple. So don't go prancing about with the attitude that you have no control over your own salvation. We must never, never second guess God. Never. So then, your next question is, if God is so loving, then why would he allow babies to be born deformed or deaf or mindless? I understand. Allow me to read from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. You have to give me a moment here now. I got to find this. You know, I had these all places all marked in my Bible, but then I dropped my Bible on the floor. That's what happened, and everything just kind of, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. Now, if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. Just listen carefully. This is so relative to what I am talking about. A time for everything. A time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rent and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And finally, verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Have you got that? When you get a chance, if you haven't read it yet, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The first 8 verses, look at them over and over again. They give you a lot of info about our great God. A lot. If there was really a loving God who had control over all the universe, then why would he allow these things to come about? Speaking of a deformed child, a mindless babe, or anything else that is not equipped to grow and be a part of society. How can they know God when they have no knowledge and will gain no knowledge? Are they to be cast aside? Are they of any purpose to mankind? Tell me, what glory can God obtain by looking upon them? Have you ever wondered about that? Yes, yes, oh yes. The answer is yes. All that God hath made, he made. You know why? To glorify himself. Well, that doesn't sound like he's glorifying himself by bringing into the world these types of people to suffer and die without even knowing him, does it? Stand still and let God give you the answer. Now, if I wanted to glorify myself, I'd probably be an egotistical maniac. As evangelist David Ring so aptly put it, and you'd have to see David Ring if you haven't listened or saw him before, when speaking of his own physical disabilities, David said those words, those lovely words, encouraging. When you look at me, he says, I want you to know, God don't make no junk. God don't make no junk. Oh, such beautiful words. So, right away you may think, how can a mentally handicapped child bring glory to God? Through compassion. Through compassion. You see, when a child is weak, we have compassion on that child. When a child is not able to fend for itself, we have compassion on that child. When there's a mental issue or a physical issue, we have compassion. This brings glory to God, the compassion we as Christians and believers in God will show those who do not know and may not ever understand until they go home to glory. Tell me, does not a mindless, sickly kitten, little kitten, drag itself across the floor until it hits the wall? When you see this, are you not filled with compassion for that little kitten? Then think on this. If we can show love and compassion for a tiny kitten that goes neither to heaven nor to the pit, then has God not planted in our hearts His perfect will and understanding that we should realize the greatness of His love and compassion? Yes, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance. And yes, our great God does have a reason for all that He allows and all that He will cause to be done. But for now, we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Face to face. God's ways are not our ways, but they are honest, and they are just, and they are filled with His holy and righteous will and purpose. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows all about tomorrow and the day after and the day after. My friends, we serve an omniscient God, an omniscient God. People, we're getting close to the end. People, we must live by faith. We must live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. King David had faith when his baby child had died. After much grieving, he said with great certainty, "He shall not come to me, but I shall go to him." Talk about faith. Such a statement includes two great truths. Firstly, the child was dead and could not return to David. And secondly, David was confident through his faith that one day he would go where his child is. What do we learn from this? Huh? We learn that God's love crosses many boundaries. For I believe that when a child below the age of accountability dies, they, because of God's grace and mercy, go to heaven. And we also learn that regardless of our sins, we too will go to heaven, but only, only if we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's in the book of John. It's not John's gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you see, as we come to the end, we serve not only a God who cares, but also a God who shares. I ask that you would take a look at my website when you have a moment, tillycomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. There are over 200, almost 300 now, sermons on there and plenty of articles, and also my testimony can be found under the heading Resume. I'd like you all to take a look at it, read it, and let me know what you think, if you will. Thank you for listening. May God bless you richly. Amen.